at dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat! I got one! Oh, damn, I got it! I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Well, good Monday evening, everybody. I am your host of the Monday Night Kayak Fishing Radio Show, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. It is a very rainy, dismal day here on the Space Coast in not so sunny of Florida. But hey, you can't complain. We need the rain. We're going to get into some really cool conversation here shortly. The topic of tonight I kind of borrowed from Mr. Lozier and Chris Lozier from their show. They had a great topic the other night and or last Tuesday on their show. The topic was so you want to be a post staffer or you want to be sponsored. So it is a question that comes up quite a bit. Folks that I talked to, some folks at my seminar I had asked me about it. I've had emails and stuff, people asking, you know, how'd you get involved with this company? How'd you get involved with that company? Whatever. We'll get into that some tonight. I've got some folks on the line that I'm going to talk to and see what their theory is on it or their beliefs if they want to be involved in any kind of a pro staff or otherwise. But real quick, I've got a couple things I want to get to. I got a buddy of mine, Tyler. Forgive me, Tyler. I forget your last name and how to pronounce it. But Tyler here on the Space Coast won the Redfish division of one of our local tournaments here this past weekend and killed it, actually. I think he actually took two places in the tournament for Redfish, which was pretty awesome. Valmer, that's his last name. Captain Tyler Valmer of, I believe it's, I don't even remember the name of this, the charter business. It's horrible. So kudos to Tyler. He's been on the show before. And something I definitely have to get to real quick. Last week I said I had a new sponsor for the show and sponsor for Space Coast Kayak Anglers. So if you guys aren't already a part of Space Coast Kayak Anglers, if you're listening to the podcast or if you're listening to the show live here, do so. It's on Facebook. It's also on yakangler.com. We're planning on doing some seminars and having some meetings and such over, at Kayaks by Bow here in Titusville as soon as those guys do the grand opening. And once I get that date, I'm going to throw that out to you guys. That's the grand opening. For Kayaks by Bow. It's going to be great. Those guys are giving away some kayaks, a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm going to be there, hopefully giving away a bunch of free sunscreen. We'll get into that in the weeks to come. I can't really discuss too much of the sunscreen thing right now, but once I get the green light, some really exciting things are coming down the pike for Kayak Fishing Radio as far as that's concerned. So it'll be really cool. But anyway, I discussed last week that I had a new sponsor for the show and for Space Coast Kayak Anglers, and that's Blair Designs, Inc. Again, that's Ryan Blair. He's a print design specialist. He does vehicle and boat wraps, corporate branding, brochures, posters, etc. If you guys are in need of any of those types of services, please do me a favor and get with Ryan. He's probably one of the best that I think I've ever seen. His contact info is 321-544-7093. If you want to email him, you can email him at Blair, B-L-A-I-R, Designs, Inc., at mac.com. So thank you very much, sir, for everything you've done for us so far. And I look forward to seeing that image you're going to do for us for Space Coast Kayak Anglers. Because I know you're going to be listening to the podcast, buddy. But so on the line real quick, I got the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Rob, a Bad Bad Cast DeVore. How are you, bud?
Hey, how are you? I'm good.
Yeah?
Good evening. What's happening?
Well, good evening. Not much, man. Just enjoying this rainy weather over here on the Space Coast, and got pounded by a pretty nasty thunderstorm earlier this afternoon, and just wishing I was fishing a culvert somewhere or something right now, but I hear you went fishing this weekend, man. How'd you do?
Yeah, went yesterday with the supermoon, the post-supermoon super tide. And let me tell you something, man. We went to a new area. I figured, well, we'll scout out a new area and on the supermoon, and if it's good, you know, we'll kind of know if we can go back. But awesome area, St. Joseph's Sound. The mangrove islands were, high tide was at like 12:30 or something, and the high tide was 3.9 feet, which is pretty big, and the mangrove islands were like little jungles with water running all through them. So what ended up happening was there was a couple of deep edges along the shoreline and everything, and the water just, I've never seen it before. You know, usually you have a little bit of shoreline or something right there next to the mangroves, and it was just completely flooded out. And you could hear fish banging bait and chasing bait and everything back in the woods there. And we just couldn't get to them, man. So we were kind of hanging around about casting distance away, you know, kind of waiting for the fish to kind of come out. And maybe I was sitting on a corner of an island where, you know, I could cast both directions on, you know, parallel along the shoreline. And no dice, man. We caught a couple of trout. I had a nice fish on. I don't know what it was. It was pulling pretty hard in open water on a flat, and I was turning the cameras on and everything, sitting sideways in the kayak, and, you know, I get the remote out, and I turn the camera on, and I turn the GoPro on my head and everything, and he got off. So I don't know what it was, but it felt like a pretty nice fish. So that was that's my tale. Caught some smaller trout, some couple of ladyfish, and that was it. Hello?
Well, cool, man. At least, I didn't drop you, buddy. At least just mute you. You know, you just randomly talk. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
At least you got out on the water, man. That's cool. That's awesome. I didn't get to do that this weekend, but hopefully this upcoming weekend I will try and do that as I try and work out the schedule. I got a wedding this weekend, and the month of May for the Levi household is kind of hectic. I got Mother's Day, my wife's birthday, our anniversary, and Trey's birthday. So it's kind of crazy, but it should be good. If I can get out, man, I know the fishing's been phenomenal. Everyone I've talked to has been killing it. So definitely looking forward to it, man. It's just a matter of getting out there. But work's been calling me, man. And as you guys know, you gotta take it when you get it. So it's a good thing. But let's see who else I got on the line. I got Mr. Mark Lozier.
What's happening?
What's going on, buddy?
Nah, I'm sitting back, relaxing, checking out the show tonight.
Cool, man. Appreciate it. And I would like to thank you in advance for allowing me to kind of steal your show idea from my show tonight, because it was just such a good conversation. And I know that we've got a different listener base, different area, but the conversation I thought was really, really good. And I think it would translate well into the folks that would listen to this. So we'll give her a shot, and I can't wait to hear your knowledge on the topic. So did you fish at all this weekend?
Yeah, Friday night and Saturday, twice on Saturday. Yeah, did get to get out. Friday night, man, we might be talking about sponsorship here, but Friday night I wish I was sponsored by Off Deep, whoever makes the best bug juice in the world, because we got drove off the water. It was so funny, though, because we were putting up with it, and we were about to pull the plug, and Chris lost a nice trout right at the kayak, right as we were about ready, like, done. So I was like, oh, you know, that was it. Okay, now they're biting. The tide just started going out. So I get up, and I throw a top water, and I had a blow up right away. So that was it. I didn't care about the bugs. But by the time, it was just sick out there. I mean, I had them on my eyelids and, like, in my ears, and I just couldn't keep them away. So finally, like, seven of us, it was like, we made a wake. We all paddled off the water so fast to get away from them. It was just the little black, you know, gnats and no-see-ems. I mean, literally every time I'd blink, I could watch them on my eyelashes. It was just so. But anyway, yeah, so we did that. And Saturday, I like to spend 1 or 2 days a week going and cruising areas I know a lot of people don't go to, just to kind of do some scouting. And as guides, you know this as well, you like to have your own little private Idahos at time to take clients to.
Oh yeah.
So I always try, like I said, devote one trip a week to go scout some areas. So we did that on Saturday. Then Saturday evening I went back to where we were catching the trout, and that's when we had a big front that rolled in here. It went from 80 degrees at noon to about 60 degrees at 6 o'clock that night, and fog rolled in and just kind of turned off. But we had a good time. And then yesterday I just took it easy. So.
Well, good deal.
That was our weekend.
That sounds awesome, besides the bugs. And trust me, I feel your pain when it comes to biting bugs down here. I've been getting just creamed every time I've gone out to the lagoon or out to the river. It's actually kind of scary when you paddle around a spoil island and you can hear the whole entire island buzzing. It's like the whole entire island sounds like that. It's kind of crazy, and it's just
it
a bad omen.
It was bad here yesterday too.
Was it?
Yeah, it was mostly in city, man.
Yeah, I think Chip said it best in the chat room. By the way, Chip Gibson, the godfather himself, is in our chat room. I feel honored to have you on the show tonight, sir. He said it best. Nobody really had a good ground freeze at all this winter. So, unfortunately, I think we're all in for a horrible bug season. So, but let's see. I got another Virginia Beach number. Is that you, Wheeler?
Yes, it is.
What's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Good, good. You get to fish at all this weekend?
Yeah, I fished Saturday and Sunday. So.
How'd you do?
Did pretty good.
Good. Good
yesterday
deal.
Yesterday was rough, man. Whew. 15, 20-mile-an-hour winds out of the northeast. Yeah, it was rough.
Oh, yeah. And you're on the water, man. That's a good thing anyways. And we need to figure out intro music for this next character. I don't have anything that would even remotely do this man justice. Wait, perhaps. Hold on.
Oh, no.
It's not Alex Trebek, but the man's got a golden voice just like him. Mr. Becker.
I think that's the first time I've ever been compared to Alex Trebek, but I'll take it. Long-time listener, first-time caller, glad to be here.
I'll take kayak fishing for 1,000, Alex. I don't know. Whatever. I got nothing on the board. I got nothing here that would do you any justice, sir. I feel news, maybe the news would work, because, yeah, that would have worked. That would have been more appropriate. The news reel, I don't know. Anyways. How are you, buddy? Did you get to fish? Oh, no, you're still laid up, aren't you?
Yeah, still one winging it, although I've made it clear to the therapists every single time that, you know, I could probably do almost the same exercise with a kayak paddle. And they're just, you know, they're to the point now where they're tolerating it. You know, they're still smiling and nodding their heads, but it's getting old. So either I'm nagging them to the point where they're going to give in, which always used to work with my mom, or, you know, they're just saying, yeah, whatever, and going from there. But we shall see.
Well, man, I hope you make a speedy recovery, because I know it's probably killing you not to be able to be out on the water.
Yes,
but,
it is.
Yeah. So one more thing I need to kind of go over before we get into our topic for the night. The always popular and illustrious Boondoggle.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
Columbus Day weekend, Virginia Beach, Virginia. First Landing State Park. Be there or not be there. It should be a great time, had by all. We're still kind of on the fence of whether or not we're going to be able to make it up to that, but we're really hoping we're going to. Got to see what happens with work and such. Starting a new job and asking for time off right now is kind of tight. So, but anyhow, if you guys are listening to the podcast or listening to the live show for the first time, or just haven't heard of boondoggles and live underneath a rock, boondoggles are basically family camping trips, family oriented camping trips, slash kayaking fishing excursions. So we pick a spot or location where hopefully somebody has, you know, local knowledge of kind of the area and can help to get us on fish, A, but B, just make it a fun place to go, a place that most of us probably normally wouldn't go to anyway on our own, and have some camaraderie with the rest of the kayak fishing community. Our last one was down in Chokoleski. We had about 55 kayakers there. I think one night we had 55, which was pretty awesome. We had a great time down there. For any of you guys that didn't see any of the pictures or hear about it from any of the shows that we put on, or yakangler.com or Florida Sportsman or Bloody Decks, stuff was posted all over the place about it. I'll tell you what, look forward to the new Florida Sportsman kayak fishing book that's coming out very shortly. It's in press right now, and as soon as that's available, I will have a copy or two to give away on the show. Not only did Kayak Fishing Radio get a mention in the new book, but the Boondoggles got a mention as well. And a few pictures, I believe, have been added to the book from our Chokoleski Boondoggle, so should be pretty cool. Super excited about that, and a big, big, big thank you to all those over at Florida Sportsman for thinking of us and hooking us up with that, man. That's pretty awesome. So, yeah, there you go. I'll be sure, as soon as I hear of a release date, I'll be sure to let everybody know. You can go online to floridasportsman.com and order any of their other books that they have, or most of your local tackle shops should carry some of them anyways. But the books will be cool. I think they're going to do a DVD along with the book as well, so that's pretty awesome. But, yeah, so join us, or join the cast of characters that you hear on Kayak Fishing Radio, and all those that you see in print and on the various forums from around the country at the next Boondoggle. It should be awesome. We got the likes of Lozier and Wheeler and Rob Choi and Kayak Kevin. And I don't know if Chad Hoover's going to make it out or not, but I'm pretty sure I heard somebody say that he might show up. And so it'll be a who's who kayak fisherman, along with, you know, some new faces. And I promise you, you'll make friends with people at these boondoggles that'll last a lifetime. So, but anyway, cool, awesome. That's all I have to
hey, Chuck,
to talk about. Yeah,
and it's only in case we mentioned this earlier, we have different listeners, but I went to the campgrounds the other day at First Landing. I think they have like two cabins left, but I just got off the phone. The KOA at the oceanfront also has cabins, as they also have, you know, camping sites and trailer hookups and all that stuff. But I'm going to confirm this, but you might want to check on the KOA at the oceanfront, and then the rates go down. A buddy of mine just talked. He booked his. It's like $80 a night, but if you book one, you get the second for free. So it's basically $40 a night. And then
wow.
They had military discount. Yeah, they had military discount. What else did they have? If you were like civil service is the right word to use, firefighter, policeman, any of those things, they have a discount for those individuals. And if you're a KOA member, you also get a discount. So for anybody on your show that might be listening and are thinking of coming, besides for the umpteen thousand hotels that we have here, the campgrounds, but KOA also has cabins along with their camping sites. So,
killer.
I'm gonna throw that in.
Appreciate that, brother. Yeah, I guess that means that me and the missus are going to have to make a decision here very shortly on what we're going to do, because I would prefer to stay at one of the cabins or one of the campgrounds with the majority of the rest of you guys. So, yeah, awesome. So, topic of tonight, pro staffs and sponsorships. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just kind of open it up to those who I know are sponsored and have sponsorships and are on pro staffs, and kind of give the listeners an idea of how you went about getting involved and doing what you do, and maybe some tips you can throw out there for anybody who wants to, you know, venture in that direction. And then, or maybe we can even start with it, I've got somebody who I know is going to want to explain why he's not a fan of becoming a part of a pro staff, and there's nothing wrong with it if you're not. That's just the way it is. You know, you either like it or you don't. And it'll be cool. We'll have kind of both sides, both ways to look at things. I'm blessed to be able to be a part of a couple different pro staffs, if you will. Jackson Kayaks, obviously you guys hear me talk about it all the time. Yeti Coolers, Bending Branches Paddles, Tackle Webs, Captain Mike Ortego, and a few others. And I did it for reasons that these are products that I really wanted to get close to and kind of lend a hand to. And try to, like, further my kayak fishing career, if you will, and kind of make myself a home with the companies and feel part of the actual organization, as opposed to just kind of all over the place with product, you know. I'm a loyal customer when it comes to buying fishing tackle as it is. I buy a lot of, like, Shimano, for instance. I'm loyal to almost to a fault with Shimano. And then now that G. Loomis has been bought by Shimano, I'm loyal to Loomis as well. Almost all my fly gear is Loomis stuff. And it's, to me, the benefit to being a part of a pro staff is not the freebies, is not the discounts, is none of that. It's the opportunity to potentially help a company to develop new stuff, or to better what's already existing on the market and from their brand. Plus, be able to do some cool things like get the word out for the company and kind of help to do promotions and go to shows and, you know, do seminars and that kind of thing, and be able to kind of talk up the people that you truly believe in. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. But as I talked on Mark's show, being a part of a pro staff, i.e. or sponsorship, doesn't come with just here's a freebie, here's the this, here's the that, you know, here's your discount program, this is what you're going to pay for, have a great day, see ya, thanks for shopping. It doesn't really work that way. You can consider that every company that you are affiliated with is like another full-time job. And it truly is that way. So I look at it like I've got 7 full-time jobs. My job is to make sure that my local area is covered head to toe in whatever I'm involved in. And I'm going to get to you guys here on the phone in just a second. But, you know, that I think that's one of the main misconceptions that a lot of people have about wanting to get involved in pro staffs and be on and be sponsored and so on and so forth, is that everything is free, and then at the end of the day you just go on about your business, and it's not that way at all. You really have to bust your butt, you have to prove your worth, because at the end of the day none of these companies need any one of us to survive and to move on and to get bigger and to get better. We're small little stepping stones that kind of help that process. But they can do without us just as well as they can do with us. So as long as you remember that and, you know, you go about getting involved with the manufacturers that you are truly a fan of, not just because you're sending out 4,000 emails to every manufacturer that's out there hoping that somebody will bite that you can get a part of. You've never used their product one time in your entire life, but hey, they're looking, so maybe I can get involved. It's the wrong attitude to have, but that's my little spiel about it. I'm sure we'll have more things for me to talk about here shortly, but I'm going to go straight to Mr. Lozier and kind of give us a back. Well, give us a list of who you're affiliated with. Give us kind of a background on how you got in touch with them, or how you went about doing, you know, what you had to do in order to become sponsored, pro staffed, whatever you want to call it.
All right. Well, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I'm probably one of the fortunate ones because I kind of was been around for a little while. So some of those companies was in the, I don't want to say the infancy of kayak fishing, but in our area and when it started taking off. So that kind of helped me a lot, I think, in some of the sponsorships I've landed. As far as, I mean, just to name a couple, and the ones that I personally am the most proud of, obviously, is Native. Daiwa, up to now, as far as I still know, I'm the was the first and still the only Daiwa-endorsed kayak guide. Then there's numerous, I don't know, not numerous, I shouldn't say it like that, but I have Mirror Lure. I just got the day after the same topic aired on Chris and Mine's show.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, Aqua Dreams, Spoons, Astral Buoyancy, and Werner, which Astral Buoyancy and Werner are, I guess you could call them pro staff deals, but they're also companies that Native's affiliated with, so some of that goes hand in hand, too. There's, we talked about this last week, too. You know, Native doesn't, and I don't know for a lot of the other kayak manufacturers who are sponsored, I mean, guys who are sponsored by kayak manufacturers, Native doesn't say you're going to use this paddle, you're going to wear this PFD, but they all have companies that they work with, and that's one of the, you know, two of the companies that they work with. So that deal kind of just fell together because of Native. I totally second everything you said in the beginning. If you're just doing it because you want more stickers on your truck, or you want, you know, patches on your jacket, and that's why you're taking sponsorship, then you're in it for the wrong thing. I use an expression that, you know, I don't fish Daiwa because I'm endorsed by, I'm endorsed by Daiwa because I fish Daiwa. I was using Daiwa way before I got the endorsement. I was paddling Native before I got the endorsement. And just like you said, you have to be part of the product. You don't just have to be using it. You have to stand behind that company. You have to like what you're doing and what you're using. And you're exactly right. You're there as a sounding board for that company. You are there to help them. But you are there for the public in your region to be able to talk to. You know, Native or Jackson or any of those companies, they don't have people that sit on a shelf in every town that they're sold just waiting for somebody to ask a question. Somebody at corporate doesn't want their phone ringing 1,000 times a day, and that's part of your job. Like you said, you know, it's a job. That's what I was doing before the show. I was answering questions on forums and emails. I get people all the time, you know, asking me. Sometimes they might be what we would think simple or easy questions to answer, but, you know, that's your job. And I had somebody has asked me tonight, you know, where do I get this part for my Native boat? I saw you use. Okay, you know. So, but you have to be there, and you have to take care of those people because that's what the company expects of you. And
yeah,
a lot of it's a lot of work. I mean, you got to have... I suggested this last week, a resume, and it's not, you know, I don't know how many guys out there have a resume or keep up with a resume, but it's not, you know, I fished this tournament, I did this. But what you do in that same regards to the public, where you're at, how you benefit the company, because that's what they want to know. What can you do for them? They already know they're out there. I mean, I don't know how to say it simply, but they already know they got a good product, they feel, so you're not going to, you know, blow smoke up their butt and tell them, I love your stuff, I want to be part of your team. You know, they already know that, you know, there's people buying it, obviously, so you got to show them that you can help. promote them even more. And that's where your resume comes in, what you do, where you attend, how you can be seen, because that's how they get seen, wherever you are. So, and you're a representative of that company, too, and that's something that I try to stress to people all the time, too, when it's just the same way I used to use the attitude when I was in the Marine Corps. When I walked out my door every day, I represented my family, my country, and my Corps. Well, the same thing when you walk out your door every day now when you have sponsorship. You still represent your family and those companies. So, you know, you got to think about all those things.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. That's one thing I didn't think about was you know, in today's day and time, with social media, Facebook, etc., Twitter, whatever, you got to be really, really careful of the things that you post on those accounts, especially fish pictures. It seems like every week I got a buddy of mine who's getting dropped from a program or whatever. I just had another buddy yesterday call me up and tell me he was dropped from one of his sponsors because he had pictures of oversized redfish he had caught, and he was standing on the bow of his boat holding them up by their gill plates and not supporting their bellies and just letting them hang there. And that's not good, man. So a lot of these companies are starting to get really, really conscious of everything that you're involved in. They'll check up on you just like a normal employer. So if you've got pictures of, you know, out of size fish that have been kept, you know, over the size limit fish that have been kept, or illegally harvested fish or whatever, that kind of thing, I would definitely suggest you probably get rid of those and don't get involved in those practices. You're definitely the face, like Mark said, in your local area for the brand that you're affiliated with.
I had a company that I had sent my resume letter, and I won't use the company's name or anything, and that was one of the things they came back, and like, they wanted my website, which I put in there, but then they wanted to know exactly what you just said, like, how can we find you on Facebook, because not everybody uses their whole name or whatever. You know, they asked different things, and I'm sure that's what they did. They probably went to, you know, and dug up a little bit of, you know, just to look back and see if I was on there putting stupid, crazy stuff or things like that. So,
yeah,
you're right.
It's definitely, and you know what, I mean, truly that whole age, well, I mean, the whole social media age right now will affect you down the line in other ways as far as employment and that kind of thing. But your reputation is all you have in this industry. We discussed it a couple of times on this show for a lot of different reasons and on the other shows throughout the week. This industry, while being one of the largest in the world as far as a hobby sport, if you will, is probably one of the tightest knit industries, especially kayak fishing, in the entire world. All of the kayak brand owners know all the other kayak brand owners. All the major manufacturers of rods and reels know their competitors. They eat dinner with them. They go on vacations with them. They're friends. It's just like any of us. And if you do anything to disrupt the harmony that's in that little happy circle, if you will, everyone's going to know about it. And once your name goes mud, there ain't no getting the mud off you. It just won't happen. It can't happen. You know, once you're done, you are completely done. So keep that in the back of your mind too. Also, before I get to the next guy on the line here, don't forget that you're one of 30,000 or 40,000, depending upon the manufacturer, emails that are sent into these different companies to ask for sponsorship or ask for pro staff positions. And there's a difference between sponsorship and pro staff, and a lot of folks kind of get the two confused. There truly is. Sometimes your pro staff position kind of works as a sponsorship. Sometimes your sponsorship kind of works as a pro staff. But there's definitely those brands that have a separate account for either or. And you know, understand what you're really wanting to accomplish by getting involved in a company. If you're fishing tournaments and you're looking for a handout for entry fees and that kind of thing, you got to make sure that you explain that in your letter and don't go to them after the fact and try and do that, because a lot of times it'll turn them off. But Wheeler.
Yeah.
I know you just recently were picked up by a couple brands. What kind of advice can you give folks who might be new to trying to find sponsorship or trying to find pro staff positions? What kind of advice can you give to them to kind of put them in the right direction?
Well, Mark hit Lozier hit the head on the nail. You know, you are the face of a company. You are, you know, you are to them their voice. So yeah, everything he said is right on point. But the main thing is that, you know, you got to do some research beforehand. You know, you could be, you know, like for instance, you know, you could be the biggest Jackson kayak fan out there, but you know, you're not going to get a pro staff with, you know, Jackson or Akuma or anyone else, or Penn or Shimano or whatever, if you, you know, don't do the research beforehand and look at their pro staffs. A lot of them will go ahead and post up where their pro staffs are. You know, most companies won't put two pro staffs in the general region. It just doesn't benefit them at all. Then those two pro staffers, because, you know, the one thing is that you have to be competitive. You know, you've got to be, you know, always striving, you know, to make that company better, make yourself better at that. You know, and when you put two pro staffs from the same team, it always seems like they're button heads. You know, they're always trying to outdo themselves almost a little too much, and it can really backfire on a company and on yourself as well. So, you know, do the research. Take a look. You know, look at, you know, okay, who's all there, you know. Okay, I have, you know, life for here, you know, with Jackson. And there's one pro staff up in North Virginia, okay? And no one else in Virginia, but there's a pro staffer, you know, down, you know, in Central Virginia or Central North Carolina. That means that there's a gap there, that they could really use someone, you know, to work that area. And, you know, that's what I do, for instance. And then you got to look at, you know, getting pro, you know, start the hardest pro staff deal or field staff, which is 99.9% of the time with many major companies when you're just starting off, that's what you start off at, is field staff. And that doesn't mean, you know, you might get, like with Akuma, I got one free rod, and then I have discounts off of everything also for that. But, you know, that's how a lot of these companies will work. You don't get everything for free. You know, right off the bat, you're not a huge name. You know, George Pomeromo, yeah, that guy gets, you know, a lot of his stuff, you know, free, but his payment is massive, you know, airtime, you know, and a name that goes with it, you know, Saltwater Sportsman, George Pomeromo's Saltwater Fishing, you know, everything else. That's his payment to the company. A lot of seminars, a lot of, you know, face-to-face time. If you're not a face-to-face person or you're shy or, for, you know, you don't like talking to people for whatever reason, you've got to get over that if you're looking to become a pro staffer, field staffer, sponsor, whatever. You have to have the will and need to talk to people. You know, and that's what it comes down to. You know, do your research. You know, realize, you know, what you've got, you know. And there's nothing wrong with starting off, you know, as a field staffer on the very bottom. You know, put your time in, and eventually, you know, things will, you know, get better. You know, as long as you dot your I's and, you know, cross your T's and, you know, show them that you are an asset to the company, you can't go wrong.
Killer. Great advice, dude. And that's, I mean, it's all true. It's, you know, I don't know. It's fun. Like I say, man, it's fun. It's exciting. It's pretty cool to be able to be like, hey, yeah, well, I pro staff for so-and-so, whatever. It kind of gives you, it kind of rewards you for all the effort that you've put forward in this industry. And I've been fishing since I was two, right? Like, I know my fishery backwards and forwards and upside down. I could write books on the subject if I knew how to edit well, which is why I'm good friends with Mr. Becker. the English major, but, you know, that's all well and good, but if you don't have what it is that they're looking for, what they want their representative to be, you're out of luck, and it's not going to happen. sure, taking a bunch of pictures of fish that you've caught will help, and being in front of the public's eye is always good. Mark Lozier said it best, or use the example of using a resume as if you were looking for a job. It's the same thing. You are looking for a job. I can't stress it enough how important that statement is. My resume is pretty lengthy as far as what I would send to a company, because it needs to be. You know, I have to be able to sell myself to a brand and get them interested in even wanting to talk to me, let alone hook me up with some sort of a program. And everything that I've done is written in that resume. Every form that I write on, every seminar I've put on, every tournament that I've fished, all those types of things. You know, your experiences as an angler is very important too. The more well-rounded of an angler you are, the better opportunity you have of getting involved in a wider variety of sponsorships or pro staffs. Example, I build all my own rods. Most of you guys know that already. I tie all my own flies. Most of you guys know that already. So, I mean, I try to do as much as I can and be kind of public about it. You know, I post the pictures of my flies. You know, I let people fish with the rods I've built and that kind of thing. And it all helps. You know, it's small, little, subtle steps. And it doesn't sound like it's that significant or that big of a deal. But truly, at the end of the day, when these companies are looking at you versus 30,000 other people or whatever the number might be, I mean, if it's Shimano or Daiwa or Akuma or whoever, you could be talking about hundreds of thousands of anglers that are trying to get on board. You know, and brand yourself. Dude, that's important. I mean, most of us have some sort of a screen name that we go by when we're on the forums, whether it's like the Tree Hugger, Chip Gibson, a Bad Bad Cast, Rob DeVore, you know, Landing Crew, Big Fly Reel, whatever.
Chip Redfish will never Chuck. Pick up still.
What?
I said Chip will never pick up still or Husqvarna.
Yeah. Chip's out of that one. He's not going to. Wow, that's pretty good, buddy. But like me, you know, Redfish Chuck, whatever. Whatever your little tag name is, remember too that's a brand. That's you. That's who these people are going to recognize as. Oh, okay, right. Redfish Chuck. Okay, I saw you argue with somebody about this, that, or the other thing on FloridaSportsman.com, and I don't really like that. So therefore, we're not going to pick you up. Think about that. That's important because that's true. That's going to all those forum posts, all those blog entries, everything you write is a Google search away. And they'll Google you by your screen name. They'll Google you by your normal name. And, you know, they'll find out things about you. If you don't want them to find out about it, just behave yourself in an adult-type manner and you'll be fine. But Mr.
Take
Becker.
Take baby steps.
Yeah, take baby steps. That's important, too. Don't think that because, you know, you've been fishing your whole life or whatever, that I'm going after a kayak company today and a paddle company today and a PFD company, rod and reel company, 7 lure companies. It doesn't work that way. Just take your time, get in with whoever you can, you know, whoever you like to use, get in with one of them and kind of show your worth. And trust me, most of the time you don't even have to call anybody or you don't have to send another email. A lot of times you'll get offers that'll come to you and it kind of gives you the opportunity to refuse or take them or what have you. So, and no sponsorship. Go ahead.
Well, I think, you know, another thing is that, especially if you're just starting off, you know, don't be afraid to ask. You know, after you do, you know, I was saying do your research, but after you're done with all that research and everything, call them up. I ask for, you know, usually it's a marketing department that handles pro staffs, or just ask for a pro staff coordinator. And 9 times out of 10, if you just ask, now you got your foot in the door, and that's the hardest thing is getting your foot in there. And, you know, they'll tell you, send me in a resume. You know, we're hounding out those resumes. You know, you've got to have something on there. You know, a little bit of your past. You know, yeah, I was, you know, the coordinator of, you know, Blasi, and, you know, I did this and that. And then, you know, your fishing accomplishments. You know, now, they don't have to be great a lot of times. You just need to know someone that's you know, well-rounded is their big thing. You know, but you cannot be afraid to ask, and you cannot be shy in this industry.
Yeah, and make it a point too to try and make them feel like part of your family. And that sounds dumb, but truly, like, that's important. If you're married, if you got kids, all that kind of stuff. You know, when a company hears that you're, you know, a father of children, you know, with children, and you're married, and this, that, and the other, they honest to God, some of them will look highly upon that. They're like, wow, you know, like, this guy is a family man, and he wants to be a part of our company, thus giving us time out and away from his family. It shows dedication too. So it's the only reason why I even bring that up is because that's been told to me by two of my pro staff deals. Is that, you know, one of the things we really liked about you is the fact that you're a family man, and you get the whole family dynamic thing going, and it shows that you're grounded and that, you know, whatever. So little did I know that, you know, I moonlight as a crack dealer. No, I'm kidding. Let's see. Mr. Becker, are you affiliated with any companies?
Yeah, so much for the everything we do and say online is searchable.
Yeah.
And then listen to your shows.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was your question?
You're fired. So, Rob, no, I'm kidding. What was I going to say? No, are you affiliated with any manufacturers?
Yeah, most of my affiliations that I still have and keep current are in the freshwater fly fishing world, especially in the trout and bigger saltwater or bigger freshwater fish, salmon, steelhead industries back up in the Northeast. I haven't felt that I've really had a good enough grasp on the environment down here to represent myself to companies that I would represent them well here. I've had a couple of folks asked, and I've said thanks, but not right now, just for that reason. I want to be able to, you know, do what I say I can do and know what I say I know. Not that I usually have problems making things up, or that bothers me usually when it comes to these shows, but you know, when it comes to actual people, I like to try and be squared away with that. So, you know, that's an important part of it as well, is having the knowledge and having the background and having the experience that folks are looking for. And sometimes it's just as important to say, you know what, it's not right for me now. A lot of the companies that I was affiliated with in the Northeast, and I don't want to drop names just because I don't want to drop names, but it was important to them that everything you've already talked about was important, but that you be thought of well by others in the industry. You know, you can be the best guide, you can take care of clients, you can do a great job, you can catch fish, you can be on TV, but if all the other dudes out there with boats and sports think you're the absolute biggest horse's patoot, you know, and you treat your other guys like you're a know-it-all, like you say, everybody knows everybody. And that will bite you just as quickly. So that was a real, real long way of saying, not really.
I agree.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I appreciate that side of the conversation that, you know, while you've had options or opportunities to take these pro staff positions, you've turned them down because you don't feel you can, at this time, you don't feel that you can do a good enough job for him representing him here. And that's, you know what, man, I think that speaks louder for you than anything else you could have done. Because when the time comes, you know, those guys are going to remember that. That's huge. And to the other side of the coin, you knew I was coming back to you, buddy, Mr. DeVore, who arguably probably had one of the, or probably still does have one of the, or one of my favorite blogs on the internet, abadbadcast.com. What's your theory or your take on pro staffs and sponsors and whatnot?
Exactly what everybody said. If you're interested in that, you know, don't be afraid to ask. But don't just I think Mr. Lozier said that, where, you know, don't just take a pro staff deal for a lure company just to say, well, you know, I got this and this and this. It's got to be products that you believe in, you know. Back when, you know, I had a couple of pro staff things going on and, you know, radio show and I was writing all the time and everything. One thing that I had a, we'll call it Brand X. It's a soft plastic lure manufacturer, and they wanted me to, you know, kind of be a pro staff, be a member of their team. And they said, you know, we'll send you some products, you know, try them out. And I said, I don't know. I never used this stuff before. You know, you see it on TV and stuff all the time, but okay, I'll give it a whirl. You know, so they sent me some product. I took it out and tried it out. Sorry. Walking through the kitchen in the, you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, walking through the kitchen in the, the drawer handle grabbed my hands-free device there. Whoops. Yeah, so anyway, I tried out the product. I didn't really care for it. And I said, you know, I'm sorry I didn't really care for it. For this reason, you know, it's a big, long, drawn-out email, and, you know, and then I'm terrible. You know, so, anyway, but definitely, you know, if you're going to want to do stuff like that, you know, it would be great to definitely believe in that product. And it, like Chuck says, it's a lot more than just you go, hey, I want to be on a pro staff, and somebody sends you a bunch of stuff. You get free gear for, you know, whatever, for however long. It's more than that, you know, and you got to be somewhat visible. You got to have some sort of a platform, whether it be a TV show, a really popular YouTube channel, whether you write or whatever. You got to be somewhat visible, you know. You got to be able to get in front of people. Doing seminars and everything, I used to love doing seminars, man, it was great. But the stuff that I didn't like about it was it puts a lot of pressure on me. And for instance, okay, we'll use my blog as an example. Okay, I used to love writing, you know, writing about fishing, my observations, you know, whatever. And you know, it was geared towards somebody that didn't, you know, maybe had just gotten into fishing and had all these questions and stuff. And you know, I wanted to be able to help those kind of people because. When I first got into fly fishing, I couldn't really find that much information on it at the time. And I wanted to kind of have some sort of a platform like that, like a beginner's, you know, back when I was just like fly fishing only, you know, before I got into kayaks and everything else. So, you know, so you got to have some sort of a platform. But anyway, for me, it put a lot of pressure on me. So, and it was like a domino effect where, you know, I'd go out fishing, I'd have a bad day, and then, you know, I need to write something. So you can only write about bad fishing trips so many times, you know. And, yeah, you'd have a good one here and there or a funny story to write about or something like that. But after a while, you know, you start running out of stuff to write about, you know. And, you know, for me, it wasn't fun fishing anymore. So I've got, because I put a lot of pride into it, you know. If I can't, I don't want to just go out there and write garbage or just go through the motions or something like that because, you know, everybody knows I love fishing. I love going out and doing it. And so it just kind of spiraled downward, you know. You have bad fishing trips and then you don't know what to write about and then you get kind of stumped on it and then, you know, you got a radio show to do and articles and people are going, hey, you know, where's my article? And you don't have any answers for anybody. So I decided to kind of lay a lot of that stuff to rest and kind of, you know, it's just not for me because I want to enjoy fishing. I don't want to go out and go, oh, my God, what am I going to do if I don't catch any fish or if I have a bad day or, you know, what am I going to write about? And it just, it, you know, now I love going fishing and I look forward to it. And, you know, I would only get an opportunity to go out a couple of times a week, so I want to make the most of that. And that's my take on it. But definitely, you definitely want to, you know, be with products that you believe in. Definitely.
Excuse me. Sorry. No,
and that's my story.
Yeah, those are all great. I mean, everything that I think has been said tonight, it's all great points. Here's something to think about. You're sitting at home right now or later on and you're listening to this podcast that's downloadable for free on iTunes, by the way. And you're wondering to yourself, man, how do I go about writing this letter, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. I really want to try and I really want to try and get involved in the industry. Here's a great idea. Why don't you make really good friends with your local kayak store or make really good friends with your local tackle shop?
I was going to say that earlier. I don't know if you get it or not, but I get questioned by other mayors. Have you heard of this guy? What do you know about this person?
All the time.
Yeah, so that's another thing, and it kind of goes back to what Mr. Beckman was saying about if you got a little – if you got a little pig pen cloud of dust around you, then other people know that too, and there's people out there like you just said, you know, they're going to ask questions. I mean, that's an industry standard right there. Is what do you know about this guy? Or hey, this guy just sent me a letter. You got any insight? So, yeah, if you made a little stink storm around town, you might want to be careful about that.
A good way to get on the good side of your local tackle shop and your local kayak store is to go in, be buddy-buddy, and volunteer some time in helping them, whether it's helping them with the sale, whether it's just helping them move product around. If a customer comes in and wants to look at a kayak and the guy's busy, maybe you can kind of just pick up real quick and kind of talk a little bit to him. I wouldn't say be his salesman for him because sometimes they don't want you to do that, but just kind of, oh, you're looking at getting into kayaking. Have you ever kayaked before? That kind of thing, small talk. And it really kind of makes their store have a welcoming kind of feel to it. And a lot of places, a lot of your kayak stores and tackle shops not necessarily need it, but it, having extra around never hurts. I think one of the reasons why Tom from Kayaks by Bo and I have gotten along so well is because when people come in, I immediately kind of gravitate towards them. I want to talk to them, want to, you know, give them an idea of, you know, what kayak fishing is all about. Talk to them a little bit about what, you know, the kayak radio show, the boondoggles and that kind of thing. And everyone always gets really excited when you start talking about just random stuff. And all the shop owners will see that. And trust me, the shop owners talk to their reps more so than you think about this kind of thing. Because, again, at the end of the day, we're salesmen without being salesmen. We have to help the local shop in promoting the product enough to where the local area will think, oh, man, you know what? I saw that guy who I talked to at the shop drive down the road the other day with the stickers all over his car, and he's got two blah, blah, blah kayaks in the back of his truck. If there was such a company as called blah, 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 we'll use them as an example. It's just one of those things, you know, it's, I don't know. I like to use the term time over target. The more time you spend trying to get into a good kind of a relationship with your local store, the better off you're going to be. That's honestly where I kind of got my start, was through the tackle shop I worked in. I was able to talk directly to some reps and kind of explain myself to them what I was looking to do for them. And that's the important part, is making sure that everybody understands that you want to do for them before you're worried about what they can do for you, if that makes sense. You know, it's your job and your responsibility as to looking for these positions to sweeten the pot for the company. So, you know.
Hey,
yeah.
Chuck.
Yeah.
Here's another thing. I don't know how many listeners or people that download later are thinking about trying. Another good tip and maybe something for you to try to even see if you like it is to also, everybody probably in your little town or wherever you live has a guy locally that ties bucktails or that makes his own little jigs, and he's trying to, it wouldn't be so much as called a quote-unquote pro staff, but they get involved with somebody like that too to help them. So if they got a good, you know, it's a product, again, that you like or whatever, like, you know, something that you stand behind, but to kind of get your feet wet doing that too, kind of helping somebody locally endorse. You might have a buddy that, you know, or something. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's true. In fact, locally,
you know, go out there and swing for the green monster and try to get lined up with, you know, Yuzuri or something like that, but to kind of try your hand at it and to see if there's, you know, a little, you know, taste for it first, I guess you could say, because it's not for everybody. I've known a lot of guys in this business that, you know, they jumped in, then they realized, you know, how much work there is involved, or like we said in the beginning, you know, I've always used the analogy, I don't come home from work every day with and see a box of stuff sitting on my front porch. I mean, there's a lot of effort into it. So until you're ready to commit to that effort and, you know, to start, like I said a long time ago, baby steps, you know, take it easy. Don't just try to go for the whole enchilada.
Yeah, and trust me, that's the other thing, too, I think that that's commonly misconstrued is that there's no, well, at least for me, I don't get boxes at my front door every day. I don't get boxes at my front door every month. I've been fortunate, you know, to have gotten some pretty cool stuff. But at the same time, you know, there's you'll have moments where the companies that you are doing business for, you truly feel like you're almost unappreciated. And that's just the way this business is. And you just kind of got to suck it up and move on and just keep on doing what you're doing. And, you know, one day it's going to pay off for you. I'm in that situation right now. I'm not afraid to tell anybody about it. I'm having that same kind of an issue right now, with one of my sponsors, where, you know, I feel like I went out and did and was like gangbusters trying to make sure that, I could do as much as I could, as fast as I could to try and, you know, prove myself to them that I'm worth them, their effort and them spending time with me or whatever. And I haven't got so much as a hat in return. And, you know, to me, it stings a little bit, but at the end of the day, I understand there's a greater good, down the road. And that free hat, sticker, shirt, jacket, sweatshirt, hoodie, whatever, rod, reel, lure, it doesn't matter. It isn't really the big picture. You know, it's not about that. It's more about, okay, you know, in a couple of years, and you know, when things are moving along smoother for everybody involved, there could be better and bigger potential moves for yourself. And that's the other thing too. Prioritize what's important as far as a relationship with the manufacturer. I've always wanted to get involved in helping to throw my ideas at something and see if I can get anything that I might would come up with put into reality, like a different style of seating position or a rod, a specific rod design or something like that. I think it would be cool to one day have that under my belt to say, hey, look, you know, this is my, not necessarily a signature series or anything crazy like that, but, you know, I had influence in helping to design this product that everybody likes, or, you know, a few people like, whatever. That's kind of my one of my main goals. What do you got, Lozier? Huh? Oh, he's just talking. Bye to Chris. But, yeah, so that's pretty much all I got. I mean, as far as the whole sponsor thing goes. But
But they heard me ask.
What?
Hey.
What?
Chubb.
No.
Yo.
I got a good story for you. If anybody's out there that has had their soft plastics chewed up by oyster toads, the ultimate revenge happened yesterday and it was awesome.
Oh, nice.
You know, I wasted yesterday probably a half a bag of soft plastics. You know, you cast, and you reel it in, and you come back, and you got half a soft plastic. You don't even feel a hit or anything, you know. And you tie another one on, cast somewhere totally different, and, you know, you get one cast out of it, and the same thing happens, you know. Well, I was like, I finally saw the little dork that was doing it, and it was an oyster toad, man. And if you don't know what an oyster toad fish is, Google it, Wikipedia, whatever. They look like Jabba the Hutt with a fish tail, okay? And literally, that's what they look like. And they got teeth, and they're just a nasty fish that hangs around, you know, flats and oyster bars and stuff like that. So anyway, yesterday I saw him come up and eat the tail off of my my Arkansas glow shad tail from DOA lures there. And that thing, man, no sooner did it chew the tail off that I look up and there's this is about 10 feet away from my kayak, and an osprey is in full dive, you know, with the, if you've ever seen an osprey do the dive, you know, where they go and they actually hit the water and grab whatever it is they're grabbing and then fly off with it. It's pretty awesome to see. It's not like they just dip their talons into the water and grab the thing out. They do like an actual dive bomb. The only thing missing was like the Stuka dive bomber sound effects, you know. And it comes down and nails the water, grabs that oyster toad and flies off with it about 20 feet away, lands on the channel marker and starts eating. I was like, ha ha, your last meal was fake. And that's my story.
That's awesome. I hate those things. I think everybody who went down to Chokoleski probably caught at least one on their trip down there. The things are everywhere. Yeah, so real quick, fishing here on the Space Coast this week, if I were going, what would I do? I would probably, with all the rain I had today, tomorrow morning I'd be on the culverts. Find yourself a culvert and stake out in front of it, and you can throw anything you want at it, and you should be able to produce. I would love to throw topwater plugs into a culvert right now and watch big giant trout just blow them up. Our trout bite down here has still been fantastic. You'd be hard-pressed not to catch a trout over 20 inches on every trip, if not multiples. I've got buddies who've been catching fish up to almost 30 inches, so it's been pretty spectacular still. Redfish are all over the place still. We've got fish that are averaging anywhere from 18 to 32 inches, which covers the slot plus some. The big breeders are still hanging around. In fact, I heard through the grapevine that they've been schooling up down in the south end lagoon, of the Mosquito Lagoon, that is. And so that's cool. That always happens every time this year rolls around. So your big breeder fish, please be careful if you're going to target them. You really, really don't want to mess with those fish in the summertime unless you have the gear to land a 30 or 40 pound fish. Please don't try and do it on 10 or 12 pound monofilament or fluorocarbon or braid. You put way too much wear on those fish, and man, you just tear it up. I mean, there's no sense in killing a big trophy fish like that for no reason. The water's so warm right now, and getting warmer by the day. The low oxygen level won't allow the fish to resuscitate very quick, and you know, you're just going to end up killing a bunch of fish for no reason. Chip, appreciate you being in the chat room, buddy. Seeing you got to run. Tell the clone we said hello, and hope you have a good evening. But you know, it's gators. The gators are roaming around. I don't know. If you're referring to alligators or just gator trout, but in the chat room there, but don't worry about them. They don't eat much. And let's see, black drummer on the flat still. They're going to be around the bridges as well. There should be still some sheephead cruising around some of the docks and your deeper bridges as well. If you can get off the beach, cobias are still hanging around. if you can get off the beach, that is. Lately, it's been a little rough. So, yeah, gator trout. Yeah, man. There's tons of gator trout. I got a line in a bunch of good places. I know you're coming down in July, so it should be fine then, too. Let's see. And that's pretty much it, man. I mean, I would really, I don't know. I love, I really like to target those big trout on topwater baits. My bait of choice the last couple of months has been Spook Jr. in trout color. Worked rather slowly. There's a mullet starting to show up in pretty good numbers, and you know, imitate a mullet. That's all you got to do. And that's pretty much it. Really want to target this fish in the beginning part of the morning from, I'd say, 0 to a foot and a half of water, 2 foot of water, and then as the day progresses, move on off. And that's there you go. Tomorrow night's topic, Mark Lozier's show, is what's in your tackle box? Top 5 lures you must have. It's going to be a good one, man. So guys, tune into that. I'm going to wrap up the show tonight. Went a little bit over the 9 o'clock hour, but, I got to do my thing here. So, for those of you that hung in, I appreciate it. Let's see. I will, buddy. I'll call your show. Let's see. We've got, tomorrow night's the Lozers, the 8 o'clock hour, same place, Blog Talk Radio, Kayak Fishing Radio. Wednesday night is Mark Wheeler, who you guys heard from a little bit this evening. And then you've got Thursday night's Chip Gibson. Friday night is the Wild West show with Spike and Ike. And I think their show airs at 11 Eastern, which is kind of late. But then again, they're in California. So let's see. I already told you all my sponsors. I'm going to run over them again real quick. Jackson Kayaks, Yeti Coolers, Tackle Webs, Bending Branches Paddles, Bloody Decks, YakAngler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource. If you're not on YakAngler.com, you need to do so.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out YakAngler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
There you go. And the guys, man, I'm telling you what, Mark and Adam have put together an amazing website with great information on it. There's a bunch of guys who are involved in Yak Angler. You've got, again, the Rob Choys of the world, Mark Lozier's, and the guys, that whole group up there in Virginia Beach. Those guys are, I mean, infinite amount of wisdom coming out of that camp. The guys down here in Florida, we've kind of got Florida kind of covered pretty well. If any of you guys have any questions, please feel free to email me, chuckskayakadventures@hotmail.com. I know last week I said that I should have redfishchuck.com up and running now. I've been delayed about a week, so hopefully that'll be soon. And then the new website, I mean, the new email address will be redfishchuck@redfishchuck.com. But other than that, Mr. Ryan Blair, guys, please don't forget. Most of you guys have a group that you're involved in. If your group needs a makeover in the advertising department or in the design department, where you work for a company that really wants to do something for you, i.e. wrap your vehicle or put a tailgate wrap on your truck or what have you, or you just need brochures or posters made or cards made for your business or for doing seminars and that kind of thing, check out Blair Designs, Inc. You can get a hold of Ryan Blair from Blair Designs, Inc. at 321-544-7093 and email him at blairdesignsinc@mac.com. Don't forget, also, too, huge friends of the show. I'm not going to call them fans of the show, but huge friends of the show, Fish in Florida Radio, Steve Chapman, Captain Mike Ortego, and Boudreaux. Those guys have done tremendous things for me and for Kayak Fishing Radio. So, you know, show those guys some love. If you're out of town and you want to listen to the show to see what it's all about, if you're up early on Saturday mornings, you can catch it online.
at 740thegame.com. You can listen live to the show there, or you can listen to their podcast afterwards. It's also available, I believe, on iTunes, but I know you can listen to it on 740 The Game. And if you're down here in the Central Florida area, it's 740 The Game. It's 740 on the AM channel, sorry, from 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock on Saturday mornings. Killer show, killer guests. I hear they have some true legends. Let me emphasize, true legends of the sport of fly fishing who are supposed to possibly be on their show either this week or next week. So it would definitely be worth listening to. Guys that I completely look up to, and when I have been in their presence before, let's just say it was quite humbling. So that's all I'm going to say about it. You guys, let's tune into their show, and you can hear who those folks are. Also, too, I got Swamp Brothers who are going to be joining me on the show here within the next couple of weeks. We just got to do a try and figure out scheduling, but the guys from Swamp Brothers are going to join me here on the show and talk about their show they have on TV. So pretty cool. But with that being said, I appreciate everybody staying on as long as we have and being in the chat room and listening to the show live, and also all you guys who are going to pull this down on a download podcasting, excuse me. Cool. I enjoy doing this, man, and I enjoy doing it for you guys. So if you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns, again, please feel free. Chuck's Kayak Adventures at hotmail.com. If you have a topic that you want us to discuss that we might not have covered yet, feel free to shoot me a message on Facebook. If we're not friends on Facebook, find me. But cool, that's all I got. So with that, I'm out. And don't forget, check out yakangler.com. Later.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Wow, I almost totally forgot. Children, Daddy loves you. Sleep well, Trey and Logan.
Give me the Flats of Dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat, man!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him! You got it! I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
Take a kid fishing. Good night.